Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
And as he said, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, as we continue to make our way through this epistle, our text this morning will be Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. I will begin reading at verse 8 for context. Let's go before the Lord together once again in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you do hear us, you teach us by your word. It is a wonderful and excellent word, O Lord our God, and we are grateful that you have given it to us even this day to consider. Lord, to grow from that which you teach us and instruct us therein. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would work mightily in our hearts and minds, even now, rid us of any distractions, and cause us to focus attentively on that which you have for us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. Hear now the very word of God, written for you and for me today. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Amen. Thus far the reading of his holy word. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word to us. Well, congregation of the Lord, made by the light to be children of light, called to walk as such today, this is what God has done for his people who are to imitate him in day-to-day living. Take a moment to think about that gospel truth. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? All of this is happening because of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. All of this is happening because of our union with Christ. We are those who, God, by his sovereign choice and saving grace, were brought from death, being identified with darkness, into free new life in Christ. Those who are now lights, called to shine the light of Christ into dark places. It's a noble calling. And it's a noble calling that leads to worthy walking, but there is a clear challenge, isn't there? We not only wrestle with the difficulties surrounding consistently shining light in dark places and people outside of us, but there is a battle in doing so within our own hearts, even within Christ's flock. If we're honest, sometimes the battle with the dark places within is far more challenging than the situations and the conversations that we have with unbelievers and the sinful world on the outside. Thus, one of the great benefits of the Apostle Paul's illuminating instruction to the Ephesians was for this very situation. He teaches us and he tunes us up, so to speak, by the work of the Holy Spirit in sanctification, that the light shining within will be effective and thorough, as will the light that is then taken into the world. So Paul has put a spotlight on our hearts, so to speak, and put a spotlight on the sins within, telling and showing us what we must get out. Fornication, immorality, uncleanness, covetousness, obscene and vulgar words and behaviors. These are all pieces of the fruit of darkness, and they have to go. As does our time with those who engage and relish in such things. We must stop being partners with them, Paul said. In its place, the roots of our spiritual trees being nourished in word and spirit should bear fruit of the Spirit. Specifically in verse 9, Paul said that such fruit is all that is good and righteous and true. And further, as we walk in the light, we are to do so having our walk informed and guided by the Word, seeking to discern what is right and pleasing to God. We need God to direct and to show us what aspects of darkness and sin are still in our lives, so that we can better know the line, so that we can better deal with those sins and get them out. For we can't discern such things on our own. And so Paul in today's text continues shining that spotlight as he teaches us more about the effect of light in darkness and therefore how it must be used. And so we will consider the works of darkness in verses 11 and 12, the exposing work of light in verse 13, and the gospel call in verse 14. Let's take a look first at verse 11 regarding the works of darkness. Paul says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." So Paul's command here regarding not having fellowship should remind us of what he said in verse 7 regarding stopping being partners with deceivers and wicked people who live in darkness. We see them and the darkness they are in, but Paul says again, don't have fellowship with them and the things that they do. And fellowship literally means participation. We are commanded to not participate. Don't be friendly with sin. We must have a different relationship with sin, having been bought and brought out of that darkness. We are no longer in bondage to that darkness. We are free in Christ. And so when we are tempted to sin, or when we see others sinning, we must not be those who are willing to walk over and when asked, "Would you like to join me?" that we reply, "Don't mind if I do." Right? Why? Because we understand what is true about darkness and the fruit of its works. Paul says that such works are unfruitful, contrary to what some may try to convince us. They're unfruitful. Beloved, this is an important point of instruction here, because the workers of darkness, the seduction of sin, they love to try to convince us that participation is worth it, especially considering the lures of sexual immorality and impurity. The message of the world is that such sin is fruitful, and the fruit feels so good, right? And yet they are unfruitful, Paul says. They are useless, they're empty, they're profitless. The apples of their trees look so tasty and sweet, but they are truly filled with poison for the soul. They are truly filled with poison for the soul. And so we need to see them for what they truly are, as being in stark contrast with the wonderfully fruitful fruit of the Spirit that God produces in the hearts of believers. Consider what Paul said to Corinth in 2 Corinthians 6:14. He said, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" The answer is that there is none. Therefore, we must not live like there is. So what are we specifically to do with these dark works? Paul says that the light exposes them. The wicked works that are done in darkness, they thrive in darkness, right? We all know that. Maybe even we've experienced that. They love being in the dark. Many flourish and abound because they are done in the dark, secret places. It's kind of like cockroaches in the house, right? You shine the light on them and they scatter. Because they love being in the dark. Matthew Henry said this, "Sinful works come from the darkness of ignorance. They seek the darkness of concealment, and they lead to the darkness of hell." Take that to heart and to mind for a moment. And yet notice a few things here in Paul's words. Our responsibility as Christians isn't only to not have fellowship with such sin and sinners, but we also have the responsibility to turn on the light switch, to shine that spotlight. As lights, we are called to shine the light and to expose what is in the dark. Remember that light repels darkness, and when light is shown, all is revealed. As children of God, we view that as good. It may be uncomfortable as light is shown in our own hearts and our own sin is exposed, but we, like King David, have a God-given desire for God to search us, to know us, and to get sin and wickedness out of us. Consider Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And yet the world, our flesh and the devil, are afraid of and hate the light. As Jesus is the light of the world, remember what was true about him and them. They hated him for who he was, for who he is, and he spoke to and exposed and reproved their sin. And therefore they hate us too, because they hate him and we belong to him. John 15, 18. So this word expose, it means to expose, to reveal, but it also is more than that. It means to reprove, to convict, even to discipline, to show to be guilty. And so simple light exposure is clearly a part of what Paul is teaching here. But Paul is also calling us to reprove and to convict works of darkness. Such works are to be shown for what they really are. We, by our words and actions, even our very presence as we live in the light, can be quite convicting to others in sin. And we need to seek to convince those walking in darkness and be evidence to them that they are guilty of breaking God's law, to convict and to reprove them as being works of darkness and to call them to repentance. And now we need to do so graciously, as we don't need to beat them over the head with clubs as we reprove their unfruitful works. So we need to be mindful of these things, but we also find this instruction, which is helpful, in other parts of Scripture as well. Consider Leviticus 19:17. "You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall severely rebuke, or surely rebuke your neighbor, and not bear sin because of him." And Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." So helpful instruction in both Leviticus and in Matthew, to teach us and to tell us what we need to do and how we need to do it in regards to how that light is shown in sin and on sin in other people's lives. So what is the reason that Paul gives for such convicting and reproving? Look at verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Beloved, the shame here should take our thoughts back to the seriousness of these sins that Paul stated in verse 3. When he said that they shouldn't even be named among us as is fitting for saints. Paul's point here in verse 12 is that since these sins are so filthy that it is a shame to mention them, even talking about them is distasteful, except as we are reproving them. It's much more of a shame to have any fellowship with them. We need to cultivate wise innocence within our own minds, my friends, those of our families, even within our church. Remember Paul's words to the church in Rome in Romans 16, 19 through 20. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. We need to be wise, right? As we shine the light of Christ in the darkness of the world around us, as we walk as children of light, may our very presence bring a good witness of Christ as people see that we are different in ways that we don't engage in sinful conversation and practice. You may have experienced moments when you walked into a room or walked up to a group that was chatting, and conversations ended abruptly because those involved knew that they shouldn't carry on sinful talk in your presence. They knew you're a Christian, and the fruit of your godly walk and presence affected them. But also, this light should sharpen and convict and grow us as believers as we interact with one another. It's important within the house of God. And we should also be clear and bold and wise in shining light in our communities and society so that sin and sinners who are exposed may, by the gracious work of God, be convinced of the evil and the danger of them, that they may turn to Christ in true faith and repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But also note the exposing work of this light in verse 13. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. So Paul further emphasizes the important nature and work of light here. Light exposes and makes the works of darkness manifest even in the minds and the consciences of sinners for what they really are. It makes manifest that the roots of their unfruitful work is their sinful nature that needs to be overcome and eradicated. It needs the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit to help them see their need. And Paul here is reminding us of what the transforming power of the gospel does for sinners, for us. It convicts so that things are revealed, so that they will turn from their sinful ways unto Christ, the light. Light is needed, beloved. Sometimes we get wrapped up into our own lives and our own messes and our own failures at living and walking in the light that we don't see the need or the urgency or the commitment necessary as children of light to actually live that way. But it's so important. For what has Christ called us to do? To be lights in the world. We need to be busy about doing that, and that means that we need to bring ourselves in self-examination, right? We need to ask God to get things right within ourselves and get the sin out of our lives, but also then that we can be effective models and examples and communicators of Christ to those who are outside, to those who are unbelievers, to those who are living and walking in darkness. We need to be serious about these things. And this is what where Paul goes to next with the gospel call. This is further amplified in verse 14, where he says, "Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Here Paul is speaking of truth from several passages in Isaiah. Let's look at a few of them together. Let's start in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. And Isaiah chapter 9, if you're familiar, is a wonderful chapter of Isaiah foretelling Christ. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." And again in Isaiah 26, verse 19, Isaiah 26, verse 19, "Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust. For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." But hear those words. In chapter 9, the light shining, and the light shining upon them. In chapter 26, awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. You see these words tied to Paul's word, even what many would say that Paul possibly even sung as a song in that verse. And finally, let's consider Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 1. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." And so, my friends, through the gospel call, God raises sinners to life in Christ. We know this. We have experienced this. We know this truth in the Scriptures. This is the purpose of your light, though, beloved. That God would use your light, which is the light of Christ, to expose and to convict sinners. That they would awaken and arise from the dead. That the light of Christ would shine upon them and continue to shine upon them. And so I ask you to consider this. What is your fellowship like with unfruitful works of darkness and those who do them? If you have fellowship now, do you see why it's essential for that participation to be cut off? I call you today to not engage and partake with those who are wicked and with their dark works. See them for what they are. They're poisonous, useless, empty, and destructive. And beloved, if you wrestle with that, ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Spirit of God to work in you, to convict you, to make it crystal clear as to what those works really are. For they truly are poison. And often, we see that the lure is drip by drip, drip by drip, luring us, wooing us to come and to participate, maybe just a little bit at a time. And yet then we see that we are very ill spiritually as we partake. It doesn't just take a shot in the arm of poison. It doesn't just take drinking a glass of poison to bring devastating effects, beloved. Be mindful of these unfruitful works of darkness. Cut off any participation. And also, child of God, as you don't participate in them, expose them. Right? Participation is one aspect of what we're called to do. Exposing is the other. Shine light upon them. that they would be brought out into the open and exposed for what they really are, that they would, by God's saving grace, and those who participate in them particularly, would come under reproof and conviction. And finally, considering all of these things, do you better see the great importance of your faithful walking as children of light? You and I are to be part of the means by which God uses to bring sinners to Himself. May this marvelous truth give us all the more zeal and the commitment to walk worthy of this calling, to maintain purity in our walk, that all glory would be given to God, that the light of Christ, the purity of the gospel, would truly shine forth before and in men and women. Amen. Praise God for His word. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that we have the true light. Lord Jesus, You are the light of the world, and we praise You for that. And we thank You, Lord, that by...
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.